Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, when you use code DNVR at signup, you'll get some special offers, like how a simple $5 bet on any NBA winner this postseason is going to get you $150 in free bets. All you got to do, pick that winner, favorite or otherwise. That's when you use code DNVR on DraftKings Sportsbook. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, and joining me today, as he does every week, the voice of the Colorado Rockies for AT&T Sportsnet, the host of the Drew Goodman podcast. It's Drew Goodman. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. How are you, man? You just got off the, you got done with the run. I'm sure it was at least 15 miles in length.
I had to get a couple miles in here before the snow on Friday because, you know, 75 degrees today. We're due for some snow.
There's always going to be one significant snowstorm in May. Yeah. And it looks like we're going to get it on. I'm looking at my computer here. May 20th, we're scheduled for snow, right?
Yeah, it's always that third week. And it's okay because it's been so hot for a month straight, maybe even longer than that. I mean, when we had opening day, it was like perfect weather, and it's pretty much sustained that for 6 weeks. So, you know, we need the moisture, so it's okay. We'll get by. Although the guys down on the field this weekend between Rockies and Mets could be rough going on Friday if they get that in, or on a doubleheader on Saturday, or maybe even a doubleheader on Sunday if they're not able to do two on Saturday. Have you thought about that yet?
Well, I don't have to worry about it because I'm taking the weekend off. I'm going to watch. You know, I tell you this all the time. I'm going to watch Zach, my middle son, play. They're in a regional, and so I'm going to watch him play ball. I don't want to put that wrong. I'm glad that I'm going to be where I am. You know, growing up, we've talked a lot about this. Like you, I'm a Mets fan, so it's always fun when the Mets are in town, and they have a great team. So I guess. It would have been easier to miss the Reds series. Is that unfair to the Reds this year? But the way it is, I'm missing the snow and the Mets series. So you're going to have to shovel on your own, Patrick.
Look, you being around for the Reds series was huge. That Kyle Farmer exclusive 30-minute conversation you had on the Drew Goodman podcast was a biggie. So I think you made the right choice. Here's something that's interesting. You'll find this interesting. I started getting credentialed with DNVR summer of 2018. This will be my first time being able to go into the Mets clubhouse because they had already played at Coors Field in 2018 by the time I was credentialed. 2019, I was in New Jersey at that point for a little family reunion on my wife's side. And then the last 2 years have been the pandemic. So even though I'm going on year five of this, this will actually be my first time really getting a lot more up close and personal with the Mets.
Yeah, and there's no shortage of big names and interesting folks to chat with when they rolled the town. I haven't looked because it was TBA, Patrick, the Mets rotation for the weekend. They're obviously not going to see Scherzer. The Rockies aren't, right?
Right.
Do you know who they're going to see? Have you looked?
So, right, yesterday or Wednesday in the game notes said to be announced. But if all things kind of line up, how I feel 75% confident Friday, if there is a Friday, Carlos Carrasco, old Cookie Carrasco there. On Sunday, Taiwan Walker. And then on Saturday, could be Colorado's own David Peterson. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be a good story. That'd be a good story. Peterson at a Regis and University of Oregon, former number one pick. It'll be fun. It's always great when name teams are in town and name teams playing well. And it'll be a good test for the Rockies. And I know we're going to get into this, but fortunately, I know you talked about it yesterday. They finally beat the Giants, and that was a much, much, much needed victory.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Rockies, touch on the San Francisco Giants, how good they are. And then later on, we'll get caught up a little bit on some of the minor leaguers, as I know that has a lot to do with your guest this week on the Drew Goodman podcast. But something you talked about, which I think is a fun conversation to start with, a little facial hair fodder, because we saw it last weekend with Sam Hilliard, looked in the mirror and decided this beard has no hits in it. Goes with the pants down too. Note that's another element too, is he doesn't have the high socks anymore, but went and shaved and boom, had himself a lot of success. And so that was certainly a fun story over the last week.
Baseball will drive you crazy, as we all know. And even if you are not overly superstitious, if you hang in the game long enough, you become somewhat superstitious. And so he shaved the beard off, and I love the quote he had. It was during the post game, and I think it was with Mark Stout, and he said, "Yeah," it was after the home run. He said, "Yeah, I guess I can attribute 20% of it to the beard, and then 80% to the work I'm putting in, the extra work I'm putting in." And I went up to him the next day. I said, "Dude, it's all the work you put in, I'm sure, right?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "But it's fun to talk about the beard." There are players out there, you know this, Patrick, who go, "No, I don't know, man. I think it was probably getting rid of the beard, or it was the fact that I pulled the, I went with stirrups instead of, having the pants all the way down to the spikes." Players develop quirks and they start to believe them.
I started asking around about that, of that idea of like, how do you bust a slump? Like, what do you do? And Buddy talked about it in one of the pregames, is, you try to trick yourself, because you've got all the pieces that are there, right? It's not like all of a sudden you've lost it. Now, your career's over. You need to go to AAA to figure something out, but you take a different route, to the ballpark, you eat something different. You just do different things. CJ Krohn, a couple other guys said, you don't take batting practice. If you're a hitter, you don't take batting practice. You don't even think about it. Just go out there and do it during the game, but you just try to trick yourself to simplify things.
And there's probably some psychology to that makes some sense. And then there's just flat crazy and knowing that it makes no sense. I wrote this in the book I did, because Todd Helton, as we all know, the king of quirks and superstitions and so on. And I referenced one in the podcast this week but one of my favorites was, that wasn't told very frequently, was Todd had a really good night at the ballpark, of which he had many, as we all know. And he got to the game or the ballpark the very next day, Patrick, and he starts getting out of his car to walk inside, and he realizes, oh shit, I didn't go the exact same way. He lived up in the Brighton area. And he said, I didn't go the same way to the ballpark as I did yesterday when I went, 3 for 4 with a couple of homers or whatever it was. So he got back in his car. He's already at work. He got back in his car. I've never told you the story.
Well, I've read the book. It's If Right. These Walls Could Talk.
Right.
Stories from the Colorado Rockies dugout, locker room, and press box, written with Benjamin Hockman, forward by Bud Black. It's a fantastic book, but I don't remember that story specifically. This is amazing.
I'm pretty sure it's in there. Maybe I'm misremembering. But anyhow,
second edition. I'm hearing a second edition. It might be on its way.
So he gets back in his car, truck, He's not driving a car. He drives a truck.
Sedan?
The Helton. Yeah, he ain't driving a sedan. He wasn't a 911 guy, all right? He's driving a big truck. So he gets back in his pickup. He drives all the way back home to Brighton. This is true.
Wow.
And then retraces his steps, complete with where he had stopped for a can of dip the day before at whatever convenience store it was, and then made his way back to Coors Field. So rerouting took him an extra hour, but he felt that it was necessary to do that. So he replicated everything from the day before when he had a big night.
That's those baseball players for you. That's baseball. That's a good buddy quote there on that.
Yeah.
It's wild. I talked with Stu Cole about, you know, some players that he, you know, was with that were super superstitious. And yeah, he said, well, I had a player that used to brush his teeth between innings. And I said, well, I know you're talking about Turk Wendell. And so we went down that rabbit hole of Turk, man, who, which is what is interesting about Turk Wendell, you think about it, is he was a reliever. And so you go, well, who cares if he brushed his teeth in between innings because he was done for the day? Well, no, this was an era where guys went multiple innings.
He would be brushing his teeth. There'd be the obligatory television shot of him brushing his teeth, and he would go back out for the next inning. I believe, unless he's moved, Turk still lives in Colorado. He lives in, you know, in the Castle Rock area, or he did, and he was coaching, coaching his kids and stuff. So, he was a character of the game. Helton would do things like this. He would go back in the clubhouse if he didn't have a good at bat, and he'd go in somebody's locker, take his pants off and put their pants on, you know, their backup pair of pants or whatever, and go back out, and he'd steal guys' spikes. I mean, he did all kinds of – I remember Preston Wilson telling me once, he's like in Preston's locker putting – because Preston had a good game or something the night before. He's got Preston's pants on. Preston go, wait a second, those are my gamers, man. He goes, no, I'm wearing them tonight.
That's wild. Yeah. I'm missing a couple items from my locker. And you go, I guess Todd wants to wear my watch in the post game. Okay, that's all right.
Oh gosh. At least, you know what? I'm gonna have Todd on here soon, and we'll go over some of those.
At least he didn't turn around and try to sell some of those items, which might be a conversation.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that third round pick of the Yankees. I bet you somebody sounded off, Patrick, and just so we're not having a private conversation, we take everybody in, what occurred, and you know more about it, because I really didn't delve into it, but evidently this prospect for the Yankees, originally a third-round pick, was caught taking items out of other guys' lockers and selling them or trading them for his own benefit, and that's a problem, and it became significant enough that the Yankees released him. But a couple other players, you know, sounded off saying, you know, they've seen that done before. And there was one other guy that, you know, was released. Some big league player came out and said, yeah, I remember when this guy in the minor leagues did something like that and got released from whatever organization it was.
And it's strange, as you said, he's third round pick in 2019. So got a nice little signing bonus. So it's not as if how much money are you even making off of something like that? It just breaks the trust down. And it did immediately make me think of Ruben Rivera, Mariano Rivera's cousin, who went and did that when he was with the Yankees and took a couple of Jeter's mitts and stuff. And it's like, you can't do that. That's bad. That's a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to follow up on that. It's terrible.
It is.
Terrible on all levels.
A good look is Brendan Rodgers and his beard. Of course, they're locker mates. They're right next to each other. They've followed each other all through up the minor leagues. Really close friends. Asked him, you know what, when you were slumping in April, did you think that maybe shaving was an option for you? And he said, no, absolutely not. He's not getting rid of the beard despite any kind of slumps. It might have worked for Sam, but Rodgers will not be doing that.
See, he's grounded. Brendan's grounded, and he understands that he'll hit, and he's going to hit whether he's clean shaven or he's got a little, you know, facial hair. I was kidding Sam yesterday, though, to follow up on that again. He's, you know, he's a handsome kid. And I said, yeah, you went from like 28 to 24. Looks even younger, right?
He does.
Yeah.
He does. Now, Wednesday before the game, I had a little nugget of information that I didn't know what to do with, and it ended up kind of coming up organically where Buddy was asked about his favorite pitchers growing up, and you know, Juan Marichal, the Giants fan growing up, so Marichal was the guy, and then like right behind it was Steve Carlton, told some really good Steve Carlton stories, and so that was my in, because a couple of days earlier Buddy was talking about, you know, him shaving, and you know, he used to have a mustache. You go back and look at some of his old baseball cards, he had it, and he talked about somewhere 87-88 we were in Minnesota, it was an early game, Golden Gophers had a game there at the Metrodome, so go back in the press box, follow the trail of clues to try to find the exact date that he was talking about, and sure enough, there it was, September 27th 1987, and who started that day for the Royals was Brett Saberhagen, and on the hill for the Twins, Steve Carlton. And so had to mention that to him, and brought a nice little smile to his face and kept the conversation going on even longer. Those are the kind of things we do to like waste our time. We got to know the exact dates when the manager shaved his mustache off based on his details.
That was one of those stories, because they had to play like a morning game because right. Minnesota was playing football later in the day, and they played in front of like, you know, 37 people, and then everybody came in to watch Minnesota play Ohio State or whatever the deal was, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So he had all the details there. And so it was just connecting the dots. And so that's just funny to think of. You can remember those details. Buddy's got an amazing memory for all that.
He has a great memory and stories. And I told this on my podcast last week. The story about Ted Simmons. Were you there, Patrick, when he told the Ted Simmons hitchhiking story?
Yes. Well, yes and no. I think I may have heard it on your podcast rather than from Buddy's mouth.
Okay, well, I'll regurgitate it very quickly. So Ted Simmons is in the minor leagues. Ted's from Michigan. And in the offseason, he was going to school in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. He was working on getting his degree, even though he's a, you know, minor league baseball player. And he's hitchhiking back from the end of the minor league season to, you know, to Ann Arbor with his girlfriend, who I guess eventually would become his wife. And they get picked up by this guy driving a van, which it never sounds good, right? Guy driving a van picks you up. Doesn't sound good. Anyhow, good guy. He says, I can get you close. I'm heading to Detroit. And his girlfriend sat in the front seat and Ted Simmons sat in the back. And he noticed there's all this, you know, musical instruments back there and amplifiers, et cetera. And so they're talking because they're in the car for, you know, for hours. And the guy asked Ted, what do you do? And he said, you know, I'm a professional baseball player. And Ted said, well, what do you do? And he said, yeah, I'm a, you know, aspiring musician. And in fact, if you guys get some time, I'm playing at this bar, this little local bar in Detroit on Friday night. You guys should come on down. So they said their goodbyes when he dropped them off. And I said, hey, you know, Simmons said, my name's Ted Simmons. What, you know, by the way, what's your name? And he said, my name's Bob Seger.
So that was it.
Bob Seger, without the silver bullet band, picked up future Hall of Famer Ted Simmons and his future wife hitchhiking across America. And, you know, because you listen to the podcast, I said, I wonder if Ted Simmons tells that story, but I wonder if Bob Seger is a baseball fan and ever realized who he had in his band.
True. Now he can say Hall of Famer, Ted Simmons, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
Incidentally, the drive that day to their destination, Bob Seger was driving against the wind. So
that is so good, Patrick.
That's a good detail of the story you left out, I think.
That was so good.
I can't think of any other Bob Seger songs
that,
right now.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
On the radio, of course, they were listening to some old-time rock and roll. I mean,
well, obviously. Yeah, and you know, Bob back in the day was getting ready to make some night moves.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well,
Do we ace that? Can we pat ourselves on the back?
We will. We just did. And look, we're patting ourselves on the back for the good time that we're having down on the corner of Colfax in York at the DNVR bar, all of the Avalanche watch parties every single night. Whether you got a ticket to Ball Arena or otherwise, come on down because the atmosphere is absolutely electric at the DNVR bar. If you're a member, you get a member-sized beer. You get price breaks on all kinds of gear that we have, any tailgates or party buses that we have going to games. You get extra raffle tickets at these watch parties to win some free gear. course, the members only Discord is popping off with conversation all throughout our community, not only about sports, but about the hobbies and the things that we love most. Meet some new friends there. And again, it's only 50 cents for your first month at thednvr.com. And hey, if you're a little bit sore from your own run or your own exercise, whatever it may be, or maybe your lower back is hurting from shoveling this last bit of snow, check out the Relief Recovery Creams from Escape Artists. It's the highest awarded topical brand in Colorado that prioritizes quality and consistency. Their creams will penetrate for deep muscle tissue discomfort. That's what you need to help the healing process start. And it's not going to stain your sheets or clothes. It's not greasy. It's fantastic. And you can find it at any of your 11 Denver metro area light shade dispensary locations. They've got a great selection of cannabis concentrates, top shelf flower, edibles, tinctures, accessories, and more. And now with code DNVR, you can shop online at lightshade.com for pickup and get 25% off non-sale items. Or just drop into a Lightshade location near you and mention code DNVR. Avalanche, you can watch now finally from the comfort of your own home with Ivaca TV. Head on over to ivaca.tv/DNVR to watch the Avalanche. You'll also get the Nuggets. You get all the altitude sports package there. As normal, CSU Rams, Denver Pioneers. You're going to get the Colorado Rapids. And you're also going to see our good friend Drew Goodman here because, yeah, AT&T Sportsnet is there, so you can watch the Rockies. And very soon, there's going to be a DNVR channel as well. So, hey, maybe after the game, you enjoy some Drew Goodman, flip on over, and you might even watch this conversation or one just like it from the DNVR Rockies podcast because we're getting our own channel over on ivaca.tv/DNVR. And use code DNVR for $10 off your first 3 months. So now it's only $15 per month to start, plus the cost of a receiver. Your price gets locked in for 2 years. Never worry again with Ivaca TV, Nuggets, Avs, Rockies, Rapids, and us at DNVR as well.
I didn't know that, Patrick. You didn't tell me that, man. That's awesome. DNVR channel.
That's it. I think it's public. I guess it is now. We'll see how much gets out there. So
yeah, you're not going to be part of it because they're going to fire your ass because you know you're not supposed to spit that out. But no, that's awesome. Congratulations to DNVR and will you get even more Patrick Lyons?
I think so. That's it. Yeah. TV personality Patrick Lyons.
There you go. Mom and Dad will be proud, and they can watch you.
That's true.
You're out here, right? Full time.
They are. Yeah, it's been great. When the Rockies are home, it's hard to see them quite as much. But then on the off days, it's got to make up for some lost time. So it's always nice.
By the way, I'm going to have to, you're in great shape and you've run, marathons and all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to have to coach you up a little bit for how you're handling yourself on the road.
Yeah.
Because you just shared with me, and I'm going to express this now for everyone else to hear, that, man, last night you sent me a text. You go, I'm wiped out for that trip to San Francisco, crushed me. I'll talk to you in the morning. And I said, okay, you know what, we'll get together late morning. You gave me a thumbs up. Couldn't even type. Couldn't even fire out a text. This morning I reached out. You come in, and, you took the old smelling salts, and right before we went on the air, and I go, what's the problem? You go, man, I'm just not used to the road trips, man. It's tough. So I'm going to have to help coach you up and train you to better handle the road trips going forward.
It's really impressive the way you're able to do it, man. Cause you still go out there and you get your workouts too. And then you're hanging out and you're ordering the Orca down in DC and places in San Francisco, riding a bike back and forth over the Golden Gate Bridge. You're an animal. You are an animal, Drew.
Oh, wow. There was some embellishment there, but we're trying.
That's it. Having fun. Rockies, man, if ever they needed a win, they were able to get it on Wednesday. Buddy even said after the post-game conference, like, hey, let's get a win today. They did. That probably makes everything on the off day that much easier, that much smoother. And they're about to get quite a bit better with Chris Bryant returning to the roster, expected to be there on Friday. I think we can all but guarantee that because, hey, Ashton Godot was sent down. No move going the other way. We expect Chris Bryant to be back on Friday after a 2-for-7 rehab stint with a double in Salt Lake City with the Albuquerque Ice Topes. And so his presence is going to, I think, go a really long way for, you know, just making up for some of the difficulties they've been having on the road and some of the harder teams that they've been playing on the schedule as of recent.
Listen, they signed him to be a middle of the order guy. And unfortunately, he had the back issue. So he's missed. It'll be, you know, 3 weeks or so, right, Patrick, by the time he suits it up, hopefully tomorrow night, weather permitting. So that's, you know, it's awesome. And now, you know, hopefully he gets going and you know, we see doubles in the gap and the occasional home run and that sort of thing. So that's a good thing. I was looking today, Patrick, at something I know you study all of the time, and that's some of the, you know, inside some numbers. And I was looking at the Rockies offense because we know, and you individually and me and you together and me on my show have talked a great deal about the need for the Rockies to improve dramatically on the offensive side of things, which years ago you wouldn't have ever thought. And a lot of it were the advanced metrics suggesting that, yeah, there's some good looking raw numbers, but overall the Rockies were not a good offensive team the last few years. So I wanted to see kind of where they are. OPS plus is one of the areas I look at quite a bit because it is park adjusted. That's, and OPS, I think most of these, you know, fans who follow you religiously know on base plus slugging, but park adjusted. And the Rockies so far this year are in pretty good shape with a lot of their regulars. You know, Ryan McMahon, sneaky, having a really good year because he's walking more than he ever has. The home runs will come. He's only hit four, but he's got a 275 at batting average. The on-base percentage, most importantly, because of the walks, is well above 350. I think it's like 368 off the top of my head. Jose Iglesias, you know, is over 100 in terms of OPS plus, that being the baseline for, you know, replacement left. So he's been better than average. CJ Cron, naturally off the charts. Connor Joe, really good. Grichik, despite the slump last week, still really good. Brennan Rogers is below, but that's because April was like non-existent. He's really come on. So I thought there were a lot of favorable numbers. Charlie's just slightly below 100. He's around 92 right now, but it's good to see him hit another home run. Patrick, you know, Charlie's almost halfway to his home run total of a year ago. He hit only 13. So the power returning, if you will, for Charlie's a good thing. So I thought overall, and I'm kind of soliciting your thoughts as well, you know, the offense, you know, is better. And the addition of Chris Bryant back in the lineup certainly should help.
Yeah, no, they haven't really had too much difficulty scoring runs. And, you know, a weird statistic, because I don't know how else to really, you know, contextualize this, because it almost suggests as if the Rockies have one of the greatest offenses in National League history, because on Wednesday they scored, you know, more than two runs in that 5-3 victory, which meant 84 consecutive games of two or more runs scored at home. So you got a couple qualifiers in there, but even still, that's the longest streak in National League history, tied for the second longest streak in baseball history, with the record being 88. So it doesn't tell you, you know, what they're able to, how many they're able to score, but it does show you that they don't get shut out very often at home, that they are still, even against some of the better pitchers in the National League West, they are still able to grind through those ABs and at least push two runs or more across home plate. And so maybe at least that's what it suggests, is that even when they're not their best, they're not bad.
Well, I'll give it or attempt to give it some context. Number one, it's an ongoing National League record. I forget what the original one was. 84 didn't just eclipse the record. This is, you know, a handful of games that they have kept moving that needle forward. The major league record, as you said, is 88. But to give it the most important context, and that is, well, has it ended? Have they won more than they've lost? Yes, and heavily so, in that over those games, those 84 games, I believe, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, that they have the third best home record in the National League over those 84 games. So yes, they're scoring runs, at least two a game, and most of the time, or more often than not, they are winning those games, and that's the bottom line. So that's an important statistic. We know with the Rockies, it's been said for years and years and years ad nauseum, they have to dominate at home and kind of hang in there on the road to win enough games to be a postseason club. And they've done that over the last 84, and they need to keep doing it going forward and naturally in 2022.
I like that you pointed out McMahon about how well he's been at the plate, because you're right. I think maybe, you know, he's been overlooked just a little bit. You know, he was a guy, you know, as we talked before about superstitions and breaking a slump and maybe trying to simplify things and not take batting practice. Well, he was out there after that, his eighth error of the season on Monday. He was back out there early on Tuesday taking those ground balls. So was able to do that, made a couple of nice plays in the next 2 days against the Giants. But his four home runs, you go, maybe not a ton. Right now, there's only, and maybe only isn't the right word, but there's 36 players with five or more home runs in the National League. Guys just aren't hitting a ton. I mean, CJ Cron, we know, leads the National League with 10 home runs. What was it, 2 weeks between, you know, his last home run and the one he was able to hit in a really big spot in the eighth inning on Wednesday. So, you know, the ball isn't flying like it's been in the last couple of seasons. So those four home runs still probably puts him on pace for, you know, 20 plus, which is where you expect him to be.
Yeah, I think, and I've said this before, because we always want more, and he's still a young player in this game, and it's not unreasonable to think that he can get better and improve. I know, you know, he's worked his tail off on that, and maybe a guy who's a 23, 24 home run guy, which we've seen him hit those two numbers now, can he jump to 30, right? Not unreal. I mean, it's a pretty big jump, but it's not a huge jump, and hopefully, perhaps, but if you, as you say, what he's on pace for, if he's a 22, 23 homer guy, but he ups the on-base percentage by 25 or 30 points because he's walking more, you know, he may be just as valuable as the guy who hits 30 homers, but has the lower on-base percentage. So he's in a good place. He'll overcome the early season issues defensively. He's too talented not to. We saw it on display last season.
Yeah, he's slightly higher, you know, walk percentage so far this year. So he's been doing a good job, you know, in those spots, pretty much right behind CJ Cron. So you're right. It's just gotten contributions from everybody up and down the lineup. We haven't seen the flexibility in the lineup. I sort of think that, you know, Randall Grichuk has been that guy. Jose Iglesias has been that guy. Jonathan Daza, where you can bat him first, second, or in the bottom half of the lineup. Grichuk, you know, was hitting eighth, I think, the last couple of days. And we've saw him, you know, for 2 weeks straight, pretty much batting third in the lineup. So they've got that flexibility in there to mix and match. And that's something that the San Francisco Giants definitely have, is this ability where, I think in San Francisco in one of the games, Yastrzemski was hitting ninth in the order. Then Brandon Belt got scratched from the game. He wasn't ready to come off the IL, or he was off the IL, but wasn't ready to play. And so they put their ninth hitter in the third spot in the lineup. And so it gives you a lot of flexibility, the Giants lineup does. And I think the Rockies could have that should they need it at some point. If the injury bug, you know, continues to bite them in some fashion.
Yeah. The Giants, you know, are heavily analytically driven. And there was a game, I think, in the series with the Rockies where Yastrzemski, who's red hot in May, hit ninth, and he also hit first in the same series. And the reason he hit ninth was, you know, Freeland was on the mound, and he hit first against a right-hander. So, yeah. I by the way, the one guy when we're talking about offensive exploits and OPS plus and doing really well that I left out and should never have is Daza, who – you know, I talked about on my podcast, you could make a very compelling argument. He's been one of the three best Rockies this year.
No, he definitely has, according to Fangraphs wins above replacement. I mean, he's third right behind CJ Cron and Ryan McMahon and just ahead of Connor Joe and Jose Iglesias. So, yeah, he's been fantastic. He's the guy almost you want, besides Sam Hilliard. He's the guy that you want to be able to put it all together, because Sam's great defensively and Daza even better defensively than Hilliard. Doesn't have that same pop, but puts the ball in play, makes things happen. It happened. It must've been the last homestand. You might've recalled McMahon singled, then Brendan Rodgers singled right behind him. He had runners on first and second. It was in the Washington series. And then Daza hit a ground ball to Aceytis Escobar in almost back-to-back innings, and Escobar made an error both times. So the identical thing happened, and that only goes down if you put the ball in play. So Daza, man, it's been clicking for him, and it's really good to see that hit-by-pitch that he took on his hand where you thought, that's it, he's out. No, he rebounded. He was back in the lineup the next day.
Yeah, he's got a toughness to him, and you know I won't spoil it. No, I wouldn't spoil it here. I'll direct people to my podcast as well, but I won't take the time here. His story about how he got into baseball is a most interesting one, and a little bit heart wrenching as well.
Yeah, you break that down very nicely over on the Drew Goodman podcast, which is out each and every Thursday. We'll get to your guest here in just a second, and Chris Forbes. But look, we're all big sports fans around these parts, and so that's why you got to check out the American Raptors. Go to AmericanRaptors.com to learn all about these crossover athletes that are learning the sport of rugby in the quest to win the Rugby World Cup. We're talking future United States national team hopefuls right here in our backyard in Glendale at Infinity Park. These are former football players, basketball, baseball, wrestling, soccer, track and field athletes at the top of their sport. They're coming over to rugby, and you can watch all of that. You can get free tickets, in fact, at AmericanRaptors.com. You can learn more about the sport with info on the basics, interviews with top athletes, conversations with coaches right in the sport from Colton Strickler on the DNVR Rugby podcast. He's also has some really good betting tips on this year's Super Rugby as well. All of that and more at AmericanRaptors.com. I do want to pick your brain first, Goody, before we talk about Chris Forbes and the great work that he's done in a very short amount of time in his current position. But the starting rotation, Antonio Sensatella goes on the IL, and with Thursday's off day, it does allow you to not necessarily address the situation because Chad Kuhl, who's supposed to start on Sunday, or rather supposed to start on Monday in Pittsburgh against his old club, hey, he could make the start on Sunday, but next week they're on the road, Pittsburgh, Washington, they don't have an off day until June 6th, so they are going to have to add somebody to the rotation. Ty Block, Ryan Feltner, a mysterious third man. What have been your thoughts on what the Rockies may do with the rotation overall?
I'd like to see, personal supposition, you're really good about this, always, checking Albuquerque and seeing where a guy falls and, if they hold him back. I'd like to see Feltner because of the guys that are at the AAA level. The most intriguing arm to me is Ryan Feltner. He has the best stuff. He has better stuff than Lambert. He has better stuff than Rollison. Rollison's hurt. Lambert's on the mend. He threw in a game the other day. That's great to see. But Feltner has some stuff to build on. I'm not suggesting the other guys don't. Please don't take that as being dismissive of Lambert or Rollison. But Feltner, the kid out of Ohio State, plus fastball. He's had good numbers in a really difficult league in the PCL. So I'd like to see him continue to get his feet wet at the major league level. We know going into every season, it's going to take a lot more than just five guys. The Rockies like their five, but now Senza's going to be down for a bit, and that's why there's an opportunity. And you're going to need closer to 10 or more starters. So I'd like to see Feltner continue to pitch at the big league level when the opportunity is there so he can grow at this level, because nothing replicates. Yeah, you're building up and progressing through the minor leagues to have the opportunity to play at the big league level, but it's like a hitter. You want to be a good big leaguer, you got to hit big league pitching. Everything else is training to get to that point, but ultimately you have to do it at that level, and so that's why I'd like to see Feltner.
Yeah, he's been really impressive with what he's been able to do with Albuquerque, because that Pacific Coast League, man, is not kind to pitchers at all. And so in seven starts, 4.08 ERA, which is a full run better than league average, 4-1 if you're into the win-loss record. And a lot of strikeouts too, 41 strikeouts and only 35 innings pitched, which that might even be the most impressive number He's got, and he looked well in Philadelphia, I thought. Again, that was that series where the defense really let him down in every which way. And I thought he's definitely the guy to go with, especially with Lambert on the mend. I think he's got maybe one more rehab start in him until he gets added to the five-man rotation in Albuquerque. But Feltner's very much has to be that guy.
Yeah, he struck out 7 in 5 innings in Philadelphia. I thought he pitched better than the line, to your point. Another thing about his numbers at Albuquerque, he actually had a low 3 ERA, and he had a rough, I want to say it was 5th inning, Patrick, you may know better than I, in his last outing that kind of skewed that start and added, you know, a chunk to his earned run average, to put it slightly over 4. I said this, when he had a 3.10 ERA in Albuquerque when he came up in Philadelphia, and that was after about 4 starts. I said, you mentioned Bob Gibson. I go, yeah, that's like the Bob Gibson 68 season. If you have a 3 after several starts in the Pacific Coast League, people are like, wow, unbelievable. So, yeah, he's pitched well, and he deserves the opportunity, and he needs to continue to grow at the big league level.
Yeah, and it's only Lambert and who's still on the IL, but it's only Lambert and Feltner that's even on the 40-man. So anything else, becomes a lot much more of a production too. So, you know, good arms there in the rotation for Albuquerque. But, yeah, all signs definitely point to Feltner. And you don't want to lose Block in the bullpen too. Like, that was really valuable. It was interesting when Senzatella went out there in the 3rd inning with that lower back strain, that kind of threw a wrench into the Giants game plan, because they had all of their left-handers in that lineup, and then they go with Block. Now the lefty, you go, well, how soon is Gabe Kapler going to go to his bench and start putting those right-handers in? And then, you know, there was definitely that opportunity on Tuesday night that, you know, the Rockies could have won that game despite the injury. So it will be interesting to see what happens with that. But your guest this week on the Drew Goodman podcast, scouting director Chris Forbes, and he goes into great detail on a lot of guys, and he's done a wonderful job so far in his post, and I've been really impressed with what he's been able to do.
Chris is a really positive guy. He's an upbeat guy, and he really values winning at the minor league level. And I asked him specifically about that, and I've talked to him about that in private conversations, and also another time when I had him on the podcast. And people may at first glance say, well, you know, Goodman, obviously winning's important. Well, at the minor league level, it's about, you know, development. It's individual development, right? I mean, guys are fighting their butts off to keep getting elevated, and hopefully one day get that call like Brian Servin did the other day to go to the big leagues. So it's all about improving individually, but he wants to make sure that within that, the team concept is paramount and winning is paramount at those levels. And that has really been emphasized under his leadership. And he believes that's one of the reasons. And I know, you know, as close as I am with Ryan Spielborgs and Corey Sullivan, part of the reason that the Rockies went to the World Series in 07 and had that nice run with that club was those guys, the Holidays and the Spielborgs and the Sullivans and that group of players. They came up together and they were accustomed to winning. And so when they got to the big leagues, they were able to kind of carry that forward, the expectation that it wasn't, well, I got here, I'm a big leaguer. It's about all of them working collectively to win ball games. So that's one of the things I took away before we got into, you know, individual players within the Rockies minor league system.
Yeah. That was one of the first conversation I had with a minor league manager that was made abundantly clear to me that, yeah, no, we're not here to win games. We're here to develop. And so, and to try things out. Hey, take a bigger lead, get thrown out trying to steal a base. And then, you know, so that you get those out of the way. Now, you know what you're capable of, you know what you can do. So it makes a lot of sense. But, you know, to your point, I mean, even those guys back in, I want to say it was 2012 that Asheville team, or no, maybe it was 2013, maybe it was 2014, where the Asheville Tourists, you know, ended up winning the South Atlantic League. And you had all those guys, Freeland, Ryan McMahon, Carlos Estevez, they were all on there. And you saw the impact they were able to make in that 2017, 2018 run. And with all of the success that the Rockies had in the minor league level last year, he, you know, and he says in the conversation with you that, you know, he's not trying to dictate the ethos of the organization. He wants the clubhouse to figure out what they want to do, and so that they've got that voice and they can you know, can structure things so that they can win those ball games. And it's really been incredibly helpful, not only for the win-loss record, but just the development of those guys, particularly at AA level and lower. And it's really been paying dividends.
Yeah, I was looking at some numbers from Hartford, the AA affiliate in the Eastern League for the Rockies. And I had a conversation after with Chris Forbes just a couple days ago, because he's back in town. I ran into him on the field after we had taped this particular show for this week's podcast. And we're talking about Ezekiel Tovar, which I know you've done a lot of conversing about and writing about on DNVR. And Tovar, he had a game, it's about a week ago now, Patrick, you may have noticed it, where he struck out four times. And he's had a great year. He's Eastern League Player of the Month, not just Hartford's Player of the Month. He was the League Player of the Month in the month of April. But he had a game where he punched out four times and he chased out of the zone. And Chris, you know, he didn't quite put it this way, but it's important for guys to fail at the minor league level, to have to fight and scratch their way through a slump or a bad day, like four strikeouts would suggest. And Tovar, I think he went hitless in his next game, but the last couple of games I noticed, a couple hits, a couple more hits. I think he's hit a home run since then. He's got six now. His OPS is over 900. So overcoming and learning, hey, how did they get me out here? What did I do? And then what did I do again that I need to correct? And that's a huge part of the developmental level. And that's why when you hear farm directors like Chris Forbes say, no, we want them to struggle. We want them to have to overcome, because we all know, just like the aforementioned Brendan Rodgers, it'll happen at the big league level. Can you handle it? Can you find within that reservoir of experience a time where, oh yeah, man, I remember when I went 1-for-15. I found my way through it. It's a higher level. I get it now, but I can find my way through that. And it was interesting to hear him talk about Tovar in that regard.
If you're at a level where you're not learning anything and you're not being challenged, that's where you build those bad habits and you go, I can get away with this in this league. And then, you look dominant or the numbers are really great. And then you go up to the next level and you kind of, learn really quickly and in a hard fashion that like you're not maybe as good as you think. And so that challenge is also a compliment, saying, no, I think like a Joe Rock, and say, look, we're going to skip you at low A and we're going to send you right up to Spokane, because, we think you can do that. You're not going to learn as much down in low A. So when you get challenged that way, that's a vote of confidence. Alan Trejo, it was the same thing. He skipped over low A, never played with Asheville. And we see the dividends that he's, been able to pay off the Rockies the last couple seasons. So, it's interesting learning more about the Rockies' philosophy and in all those things and what's ahead, because the farm system is really starting to take steps forward. We saw Drew Romo recently in the MLB pipeline rankings. He moved into the top 100. I think Tovar is going to be there in the midseason rankings when things get shifted around. And a guy that, might not be a top 100 prospect, but he's a guy that's going to move up the Rockies ranking. Not a friend of the show, but technically a family member of the show. That being first baseman catcher Hunter Goodman, who has been absolutely fantastic this entire season, leading the Rockies minor leaguers with 9 home runs and 35 RBI. Wow, this guy can hit.
Yeah, my nephew's worked hard, and I appreciate, he worked out with me in the off season. I did a lot of flips with him, and we talked the game, and I'm proud of him. I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah, no, he's been fantastic. 4 multi-hit games over the last week, right? I think he was the Cal League Player of the Week.
Yeah, that was all a lie, folks. There is no relationship. No, he's a strong dude. And Patrick, his college stats at Memphis. He was a power hitter in college. And so there's intrigue there. You can't have enough guys hit the ball over the wall, right?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, it's hard to put a comp on him. You think like maybe a Tom Murphy, a guy who, you know, is maybe more offense than defense. But, you know, there's still some hope because he didn't get an opportunity to catch a lot at Memphis, I think, like in his freshman year. So he's still kind of getting caught up where someone like Drew Romo, he's been a catcher, you know, his entire life. So he's got all those reps. So it's good that he's learned first base a little bit in case he needs to do that. The one stat that I really liked from his big week as the California League Player of the Week was he had 8 balls that he had put into play at 100 miles an hour or greater. So, man, the dude's scaring some people there in California with Fresno.
Yeah, and I've said this on our broadcasts, Patrick. The Rockies are deeper behind the plate than they've ever been, and it's such a hard position to find guys that can impact the game two ways. One, be a great receiver and handle a pitching staff and also contribute offensively. Drew Romo looks like, you know, he's the star of the system when it comes to catchers. Don't forget Willie McIver at Hartford. Willie McIver is a really good athlete behind the plate. He can hit. They believe he's going to be good defensively. Mark Strittmatter is really high on him. The young man, you know, he's 27, but Brian Servin, this isn't just, hey, we had, you know, we're just flipping a guy out. They believe that Brian Servin's a big league catcher. And we saw him the other day behind the plate, former Arizona State product. And then you go on down and, you know, you get to Hunter Goodman. So there's some guys behind the plate that are really interesting for the Rockies.
Hey, even Goodman's teammate and Braxton Fulford, you know, really talented catcher there too. Great on the defensive end of the spectrum. So Rock, it's not even a problem, right? Sometimes you say, hey, it's a good problem to have too many catchers. No, you almost can't have too many good catchers in your system. You never know. Again, other teams, sometimes they get real desperate and they need to knock on your door and say, man, we need to improve our catching depth. Well, again, that Rockies can deal from strength there if they need to.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Patrick, because I'll give you an example, one that you're aware of, in that when the Dodgers were able to put a package together that was pleasing enough to the Nationals that they traded not only Max Scherzer, but also Trey Turner, one of the centerpieces of that trade was Keibert Ruiz, who was looked upon as the top catching prospect in all of baseball. The Dodgers are set because of Will Smith behind the plate and because they had another guy in their system that's really well thought of. And forgive me, I'm forgetting his name right now. He's not in the big leagues.
Is it Diego Cartaya, something like
that? Yeah, that's what it is. Thank you. Yep. And because they had him, they could let this super top prospect go in Ruiz to Washington as part of the package that, you know, was put together that brought Scherzer and Trey Turner to LA. I think we frequently think of prospects and say, well, when will they impact the Rockies? When will they impact the Rockies? Well, if you have enough good ones, they may never impact the Rockies because they may be a trade chip to get somebody else that impacts the Rockies that's already, you know, arrived at the big league level.
Yeah, Francisco Mejia was a name that he was essentially like a top 100 type prospect that in the last couple of years was really valuable for, you know, Cleveland to acquire Brad Hand from San Diego, and then San Diego turned around and dealt him to Tampa Bay in the Blake Snell trade. So again, you know, catching prospects, that's a hard one where there's not as many. If you go and look up and down the top prospect rankings, you know, you might not see very many catchers because they're that rare breed. They take longer to develop. I mean, Brian Servin's a guy who's, I think, almost never been on a top 30 prospect for the Rockies. And yet, you know, he's out there doing it at 27 years old, which is also like that's almost prime age for a lot of catchers when they reach the majors, maybe 25, 26, 27, because it's just one of those positions that it just takes so hard to learn the craft to the level that they need to have in the big leagues.
Yeah. And even if we one day, and I hope we don't have, you know, robo umpires, which, you know, now they're in AAA, we've seen them in the PCL. It's still going to be very, very important that the pitcher on the hill is comfortable with the guy who's receiving him, how he calls the game, how he sets up, how he receives the baseball. There's a huge comfort level with pitchers that needs to be paid attention to. And if you have a catcher that a pitcher is uncomfortable throwing to, not good. And ultimately, the pitcher and what he feels, as long as he's, you know, somebody, you know, that's established themselves, that's going to weigh more on the decision as to, you know, who's behind the plate, juxtaposed against maybe what they do offensively.
A couple of injury updates on some of the minor leaguers. Chris Forbes, we both caught up with him just the other day. Colton Welker's working his way back from that shoulder issue he has. Looks like he's not going to need surgery, which is great. Benny Montgomery, his quad issue, I think he's actually scheduled to return this week. So good news on the injury front for some of the hitters that the Rockies have in their organization.
Yeah. And, you know, I looked up a couple numbers. Zach Veen, you know, still getting adjusted. He started slowly last year. You know, he's doing fine in Spokane. You know, nothing off the charts yet. People wondering about Zach Veen, who's the top prospect in the Rockies chain. But there's a lot of names out there, and there's some young kids that we that are just moving over from the Dominican that are going to be playing, you know, in either in the Fire League or in the you know, an A-ball in the not too distant future. Some arms that I know Rolando Fernandez is very excited about.
Is the Fire League the Arizona Complex League?
Yes.
I have not heard that phrase before, but I knew exactly what you meant.
Yeah. Complex League, the Fire League, man.
Wow. Yeah. Has it always been referred to as that, or just now since the reshuffling?
I'm not 100% sure, but I know anytime that they're playing baseball in the summer in Arizona, that phrase is apropos.
Wow, that's wild. Do they open the stands up for those games? Do you know, or is that just pretty much held almost behind closed doors in the Arizona Complex League? And I think in the past that kind of was almost inconsequential because there were so many different levels, right? You had the different short season leagues, but now, you know, obviously people are going to be curious to get their eyes on not only the most recent draft picks for the Rockies and the other 29 teams, as well as you mentioned, the players who come over from the Dominican Summer League. So I'm curious. It's one of those things that's just, it's unknown. It's just, what's going on down there in Arizona? It's interesting.
I went down. I think you did also. Correct me if I'm wrong. I was at instructional league for a while last fall after the regular season was over, and I thought you went down also. Did you go to instructs for a little bit?
Well, the Arizona Fall League. I was.
Oh, you went to the Fall League. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's a great time of year to learn about, you know, the next wave or the future of a ball club, and also seeing the future of some other clubs, you know, some of the bigger names, some guys that were first round picks or, you know, earned a big bonus from, you know, Venezuela or the Dominican. It's a fun time of year.
Yeah. And that goes back to, you know, a guy like Jonathan Daza, where you say, you know, where'd this guy come from? Like what's his background? They don't just magically show up, or they don't just, you know, get traded from another organization. Like they've got that history and they go through all the levels of the minors, and, you know, you need to learn about them over those few years that they're developing. And hey, that's what you touch on there in this week's edition of the Drew Goodman podcast really well. So you can learn more about Jonathan Daza as well as the future Jonathan Dazas on the Drew Goodman podcast, dropping each and every Thursday.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. What else was it? What else did I have for you? I'm trying to think. I don't know.
You can ask me when I'm going to shave my mustache.
No, you're
not
good.
I'm not slumping yet.
You're not in a slump. You're good. I've been going clean shaven. I started the year, was it a couple years ago? I started the year with a goatee.
Oh.
And the Rockies got off to a miserable start. So I shaved it. Because I knew that if I shaved it, it would turn around the fortunes of the club.
Yeah, I remember that article that Thomas Harding wrote about the clubhouse really appreciating. And I think they went off on a 5-game winning streak after that. So that was, you know what, your team player is what you are.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do my part, however small it may be.
That's right. Well, follow him if you're not already. Subscribe to the Drew Goodman Podcast on Twitter at DrewGoodman42. I'm at Patrick D. Lyons. And make sure you also follow our main account at DNVR underscore Rockies, at the Susie Hunter as well. This has been great, but you know what they say about momentum? It's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you then.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.